So how many have read the two portions of scripture that I gave you? Good, because to the degree that you have read it and soaked in it, revelation will be imparted to you. These are extremely important. This message is so important, I've just been soaking in it for a solid month before I was ready to release it. I have no notes, but I have it solidly in my spirit. And I hope, sincerely hope, that it will be imparted to your spirit today.
Amen.
So, Father, help us and help me, Lord, please. Now, you and I, well, everyone, we are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body which will stay here, thank God, when we go to heaven. We get new bodies. It is so important to know and to understand that. Now, that was 1 Thessalonians 5:23, by the way. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says that. And in order to relate to him, we can only do so through our spirit. Spirit to spirit to spirit. God speaks to your spirit. And if you can appreciate, and I'm sure you can, that just as a child has to grow, and when you have a newborn, you don't expect him to be uttering sentences at 6 months, usually. It takes time, sometimes 2 years before they start speaking and are able to communicate with us. Well, your spirit also takes time for it to mature, but it is God's will for you and I to mature spiritually so that we can increasingly communicate with the Holy Spirit. God has many things he wants to impart to you and I. Many things. And you'll see some of them today. But these things, if we don't receive them spiritually, if we don't connect spiritually, they're just going to pass us by. And they will be intellectually stimulating, but spiritually, it'll be frustrating. So that's why I always keep asking, soak in the word, soak in the word. It's like when you make a soup, and from what I understand, when most people make a soup, they let it sit for a day or two while the ingredients kind of come together. Is that right? Yeah. Why do we do that? Because it tastes better. It takes time. Well, in the same way, unless you are well-versed in communicating with God spiritually, it takes time for your spirit to settle down and come to a place where you can communicate and hear the voice of God. That's why we soak. And in the process of time, as we become more accustomed to it, it should get easier and easier, because it's learning a new way to communicate. Like if you were going to go to some foreign land and live there, you would want to know the language. Well, there is a language of the Spirit, and God wants us to know it. But the prerequisite here is found in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to him, and he was one of the religious leaders of the day. And he says, you know, I know that you come from God because no one can do the things you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him in verse 3, most assuredly I say to you. Now when Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, you can take that to the bank. He does not use words lightly. And he's saying, with absolute certainty, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's why religious people, people who are not born again, just can't see what we're talking about. They don't get it. Because they are wanting to grab hold of this information with their intellect. And God never intended for you and I to lay hold of his word just with our intellect. Now we need our mind. It's got to cooperate. But it cooperates under the dominion of your spirit. You understand what I'm saying there? So when Jesus says you must be born again. And of course Nicodemus, who is relating to Jesus with his mind, is saying, how can you be born again? You know, when you're an old and you climb back into your mother's womb and so forth. And then Jesus repeats this and said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And too often when we share the gospel with people, we almost do it from a perspective of a salesman. Please receive Jesus. Please, give him a chance in your life. Just give him a chance. Give him a chance. And so people approach that with almost a buying option. I'll see how he does. And if he pleases me, we'll continue. But when he doesn't please me, the relationship is done. It's understanding that God is God Almighty. He's God Almighty. And that you and I have been given the privilege, really, of being able to live under his dominion. But make no mistake, it's his dominion. His dominion. And so we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Now I know I didn't give you these two, but I thought if I just gave you a couple of scriptures to look up, it would go easier. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 9. Furthermore, Paul is saying, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The Father, your spirit, came from God. My spirit came from God. It came from God. God is the Father of spirits. He is your spiritual Father. That's what he's trying to say to us here. So that when I relate to the Holy Spirit and to God, I'm relating to my spiritual family. I'm relating to my family. And that's one of the stumbling blocks for people, is that if they try to grasp that with their intellect, can't do it. Can't do it. You know? Without naming any names, I have relatives. And some of the religious ones that I would talk with couldn't grasp these things. You know, they couldn't grasp that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. That the Holy Spirit of God is there living in our spirit. How can he live in your spirit? You know, like, God would never do that. You know, God is God. And so, and there, you could see the wheels turning. And we talked about this for years. And now he's dead. And hopefully, somehow he made it to heaven, I hope. But the stubbornness of his heart blocked him from receiving truth. And too often our pride gets in the way. It just simply gets in the way. I remember the first time that I heard you must be born again, I thought they were nuts. And told them so. Many times. Repeatedly. Over and over. And not in a nice way either. However, God is merciful. You know, even to the stubborn and dumb of heart. And as I was talking to someone recently, I said, you know, if you don't know God, you don't know him, then really nothing can convince you about the tough questions of life. But if you do know him, it doesn't matter. Because you trust him. That he has an appropriate answer for the things that we don't understand right now. And so when the Lord appeared to me, and I got born again, my questions were all answered. They were all answered. You can't convince me otherwise. It's too late. I've been with God far too many times and seen his miraculous grace over and over in my life.
John, do you remember when you got saved? This is the truth, because like he's very smart, he's intellectual, and he had no interest in the gospel whatsoever, like none. Well, I told my sister, he became a Christian. She was so scared she started going back to church.
That's a wonderful story there. Yes. So.
Save your soul.
What?
You save the soul.
Well, no, dear, not me. So verse 22 says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, in heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's for us, who are registered in heaven, praise God, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, the word there, just men made perfect, just means people who are saved and who are being matured, who are growing in maturity spiritually. It's very straightforward and simple, really. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. So the first thing that must happen is you must be born again. You must be born again. And if you're truly born again, then you know God. You know God. And there is a hunger within to know him more. Sometimes people grasp God intellectually and think that that makes them saved. but it's not. You must be born again. Your spirit comes alive unto God. Comes alive unto God. And so in 1 Peter here, 1 Peter is one of the two scriptures I gave you. Chapter 1, verse 23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. How are we born again? Through the word of God. Who's the word? Jesus. We are born again through Jesus Christ. Not through some religious doctrine, but through a person. Through the person of Jesus Christ. Born again. Made alive unto God. My spirit comes alive unto God. And if I don't have a hunger for God, something's wrong. Something is wrong. If there is not a hunger within you to know Him, then something is either blocking it or you're not born again. And the second scripture, and this is the one that really, it's a scripture that we must soak in over and over and over and over and over and over again for the reality of these words to begin to penetrate your spirit. So 2 Peter chapter 1, the first four verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, those who are born again, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's talking to people who are born again. And he says to them, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. What is that telling us? How many of us really need more peace and grace, really, in our lives? I think most of us, if not all of us. How do we get it? How do we get it? What's it telling us? How do you get grace and peace?
Through the knowledge
of God and of Jesus. What does that mean, through the knowledge? Through the Word. Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. So that's the first time he's saying that. Through the Word of God. And then we go on, it goes, As his divine power, God's power, supernatural power, the power of God, so we could say the power of God has given to us all things. All things. The power of God has given. Now, you know what? If I said to you, I'm going to give you each $1 million, you wouldn't get too excited, would you? Why not? Because I don't have $1 million. You know? Much less 20 or 30 million. I just don't have it. But when God says that His divine power has given us all things, that has meaning. It has meaning. But that meaning has to go past my intellect. You know, you could read this 50 times and it's, isn't that nice? You know? But he is telling us that his supernatural power, the power of God, has given every one of us, or made available to us, all things. All things. What kind of things? Things that pertain to life, that's Zoe life, the life of God, and godliness. Things that pertain to Zoe life and godliness. God has given you and I all things that pertain to life, the life of God, and godliness. That's a huge statement. It's an enormous statement. Intellectually, we read this and it's nice, you know, but it doesn't create within us the excitement that it would when we grasp it with our spirit. So we go on and it says, how do we get this? Through the knowledge of Him. Who's the knowledge of Him? That's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Through the Word of God, or Jesus, that called us to glory. The word glory there means holiness. And virtue, that means moral excellence. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, another gift here he's talking about, given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. This knowledge tells us about exceedingly great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these what? Through these promises. Through the knowledge of these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? Through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. What does that say to you? What do you hear when you read this? Through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean?
Having a part in the workings of God. A partaker in the divine nature. Partaker. Sharing the divine nature of God. You're sharing the divine nature of God. You're sharing in the things of God. Sharing in the things of God. How can you do that? Because God is a spirit. You are a spirit. You're a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. But it's your spirit that this is speaking to. The divine nature is God is a spirit. And He said, let us make man in our image. Your spirit is a reflection of God. Now please don't, that does not make us gods. But it does mean that the nature of God, when you are born again, the nature of God is in you. The nature of God is in you. What does it do? Well, it says here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What does the corruption mean? Well, the word corruption there means spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty, and everything else that the devil brings. You see, it couldn't impact Jesus. And to the extent that we embrace the divine nature that is in God, as we embrace that, as the revelation of what it means to have the nature of God in you. All these promises that are in the Bible, it's filled with promises for us. It's filled, isn't it?
Amen.
It's filled. It's filled with promises. Sometimes we read it and we think that's too overwhelming. It's just too overwhelming. But that's because when we're trying to grasp it with our minds, with our soul, we read something and think, yes, that would be wonderful. But it seems so far beyond what we can grasp that we kind of give up before we even try. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13,
Well, let's read it, actually. Let's read it. It's so important. John 16:13. Does this make any sense? I know that initially it's hard to grasp this, but it's reality and it is biblical. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, that's the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. See, that's when the Holy Spirit connects to your spirit and imparts revelation. How does He do that? Well, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says here, verse 9, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And that's just before that says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the mind of man. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So He has revealed them to us through His Holy Spirit. Now how does that work though, you see? How does it work? Well, verse 13 says, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. He compares spiritual things by interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, spirit to spirit. Do you see that? You see what God's wanting to do? How is He doing it? How does He communicate these things? Spirit to spirit. But if you and I haven't developed our spirit, and most of us haven't, truthfully, then we're not going to understand it. We're not going to be at a place. It's like if we went to France and someone started speaking to us in French and we didn't know any French, we wouldn't know what they're talking about. Wouldn't have any idea. But if you spent time learning the language, you'd be able to communicate with them. In the same way, when your spirit starts to come alive to God, when your spirit starts to come to a place where your spirit can hear God, can understand God, can communicate to God, then the Holy Spirit here can reveal truths to you and I that will change your life. Change your life. You know, there are scriptures that when we read, healing, wholeness, even backsliding for relatives and so forth. You know, is it Hosea 14:4? Where's that? Let me just find that for a second. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Well, I know of a situation where that scripture was used to bring a child back to God. But see, it takes time for that scripture. It didn't happen overnight. It rarely does. It takes time. It's like you take the seed. That's why we need all of scripture. So that we understand these promises, they're seeds. So when we plant the seed, it's got to be planted in good soil. What is good soil? That's soil that's been prepared. So when you prepare your own heart, your own spirit, to hear and receive these truths. You're planting them. You're just planting them. They don't grow overnight. You know what I mean? The farmer doesn't plant something and then tomorrow morning go and say, well, where the heck is it? Why not? Because he knows it takes time. It takes time. And that, you know, they have to water the thing and whatever else that happens. Well, in the same thing, when we take the promise of God and we plant it in our spirit, it takes time for it to come to fruition. It takes time. But it will come to fruition. When I started learning about healing, I think it took 18 months before I moved into a position of solidly believing. 18 months. 4 and 5 hours a day. 7 days a week. And I worked full time. We had two kids. Yeah, we had two kids. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't sitting at home with nothing to do. You know, somebody said, well, I don't have time to do that. Well, then, the alternative, you get nothing. God expects you and I to invest ourselves in Him. He expects that. And it's not without setbacks. Believe me, it's not without setbacks. You know, I've told you, I lost my healing twice. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. People made fun of me. I didn't get 1 ounce of support. But I persevered because I knew there was nowhere else to go but God. Nowhere else. If God didn't do a miracle for me, I wasn't getting it. It was just that straightforward. And so I persevered in it. God is a miracle worker, but we have to invest ourselves and invest our spirit and give God the opportunity to speak to our spirit and to help our spirit to become more sensitive. More sensitive. Because when we read things, and I'm going to read it again here, because Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus, to those who are born again, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. One time. As His divine power has given us all things, everything you need, that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called you to glory, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through the knowledge, or through these, you may be a partaker. Do you see what's the theme here? What's the theme?
Through the knowledge.
Without the knowledge, you're not going through. It's through the knowledge. You and I, we have to, if we want to experience the promises of God, first of all, we need to know what they are. But second, we need to plant them. We've got to plant them. And we plant them in our spirit, not our intellect. We plant them in our spirit. And we let them start to grow and talk to God and pray over them and worship God and connect with God and spend quality time with God. And as we're doing that, and I'm going to talk in the next week about how we do that, but as we do that, what happens is my spirit starts to grow up. It starts to mature. You know what I'm saying? It's over time, it's not a baby anymore. It starts to grow in its understanding, in my understanding of God and His ways. Along that path, there are setbacks. If you're not prepared for those setbacks, you're going to get really discouraged. Life has problems, you know? And if we're not ready to deal with those, you know, and that doesn't mean you can't, you know, have a good cry and just, you know, feel bad. And it means don't give up, though. You don't give up. And I can tell you that, you know, there were times when I thought, God, are you trying to make a fool of me? You know, why am I the only one that believes you can do anything? I couldn't find one person in my church. Not one. Not the pastor, not the elders, not one person who would believe with me that God would heal and do something. Not one. But I had plenty telling me to shut up. That they were sick, and I quote, sick to death of hearing me talk about healing. And if God wanted to heal me, I'd be healed. So you got to be prepared. There are going to be roadblocks along the way. But if you plant and nourish that seed, and you are determined, you know, God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search me with all your heart. With all your heart. You know, that's a real question there. Be honest with yourself. Am I searching for God with all my heart? The reality for most of us would be no. No. We would like to know Him, but we'd like Him to make it easy. Sure we would. We all would. You know, no one ever prays, oh God, give me challenges so life will be hard. No one ever prays that. You don't have to. They come anyway. They come anyway. But that's where, you know, it was in Matthew 7 when he talks about the foundation. And he lays the proper foundation and the rains came and so forth. You know what? The guy who laid the right foundation, he still had the storms. Both of them got the storms. Just that when it was over, the one with the foundation was still standing. So the storms are going to come. No question about it. But if you are determined to know God, if you're determined to allow your spirit to mature, and we're supposed to, you know, the Bible talks about how we're to grow up. We're to grow up in God. I mean, these apostles, they didn't become men of faith overnight. I mean, they ran away when things got tough. They gossiped about one another. They tried to outdo one another. You know, each one wanted to be the big one, and, you know, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. These were not spiritual giants. But God worked with them, and they were committed. And so in the process of time, spiritually they matured. They matured. It took years, but they did mature. Well, you and I aren't going to grow up overnight either. But we will grow up if we are determined to persevere in God. Amen? Well, that's enough for today. Lord, I just thank you that you are a kind and gracious person. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us, help me, to understand what it is you're saying to us and how you do want us to grow up and mature. I ask you, Lord, to help each and every one of us, please. Help us, O God. For we have a desire for you, Jesus. We have a desire for you. Help us, O Lord, to open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we might know God. We might know God. I pray, Father, that you will help us in our quest to persevere, not just the knowledge of God, but to persevere in the relationship of knowing God, knowing Him personally and intimately. Help us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just take a moment or two and just reflect on what's been said. If anyone needs prayer,